Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Whether this is her first Mother's Day or her 40th, she deserves more. Shop tons of stunning on-trend jewelry for every budget at Diamonds Direct. Diamond fashion jewelry, beautiful birthstones, everyday pearls, starting at just $200. Commemorate the real loves of her life with a gorgeous pendant featuring the birthstone of the one who made her mom. This Mother's Day, Diamonds Direct is everything you need to say thank you. Diamonds Direct, your love, our passion. Online at DiamondsDirect.com.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
It's brand new season two. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedeta. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Wilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to Brand New on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello again, everyone. Welcome to Tech Stuff. My name is Chris Paulette, and I am an editor at HowStuffWorks.com. Sitting across from me, as always, is senior writer Jonathan Strickland.
I want my $2!
I haven't thought about that in a long time.
Actually, I quoted from that movie not too long ago, but you know what? It's a good one.
So well, not since then.
Yeah, not since then. So today we're actually going to tackle a pretty serious subject, but it's one that has had a lot of attention recently for various reasons. We're going to talk about cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm.
And this kind of relates to a previous episode we recorded a couple of years ago, about internet trolls, right? How
yes.
trolls work.
Mm-hmm.
Cyberbullying being a sort of a specific type of internet troll.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it's kind of interesting. We're going to have to – people will ask about this. And,
yeah.
Cyberbullying in a lot of ways is not especially different in character from, frankly, bullying in person.
Yeah.
It's just using the tools of the internet. You know, now that we have the ability to publish instantly and frequently, you know, people use those tools to pick on others.
Yeah, and we've been seeing a lot of this in the news, from, like I said, from various sources over various activities, you know, things that have happened recently. But the one that kind of spurred this, at least from my perspective, was the whole Rebecca Black phenomenon, train wreck, however you want to call it, right?
Right, right.
So for the few of you out there who may not have heard of Rebecca Black,
mm-hmm.
I suspect most of you probably have. Rebecca Black is a 13-year-old girl who received an amazing gift. Her mom paid for her to have a music video done.
Right.
And it's the song is called Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And let's just get this out of the way. It is not a good song. It is very the lyrics are banal. Would you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I would agree.
The tune itself is pretty catchy. You know, it's one of those that's been engineered to get stuck in your head and stay there until you start to go crazy.
Yeah.
But Rebecca Black did not write the song.
No, she did not.
But she did perform it. And the song features her voice being auto-tuned to the point where it sounds almost robotic.
Yeah.
And like I said, the lyrics are really, really boring. But not really. That's not really here nor there. She uploaded the video to YouTube. Mm-hmm. And then I think it was on like February 10th, 2011 that she uploaded it to YouTube. And it took about a week. But then people started to share this video.
Mm-hmm.
And it went totally viral. And before you knew it, there were thousands and thousands of views of this video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had read an article in preparation on Mashable by Todd Wasserman, who was basically charting it. And yes, you know, February 10th is when it was initially published. You remember Michael J. Nelson, don't you?
Yes.
Yes, of Mystery Science Theater 3000 and
Riff Tracks fame.
Riff Tracks fame. He tweeted about it on his Twitter account, too. He's got, according to Wasserman, more than 19,000 followers. He probably had more. I didn't actually look this morning right before we decided to do this podcast. But basically said, you know, this is a catchy song, but it also answers the question, what's the worst video ever made? It was a quote from that. And of course, when someone who has got that level of followers, you know, it's going to attract attention. And that's around the time that it started picking up. And that was in March.
So
really.
I should also point out that I think Total Eclipse of the Heart still gives it a run for the money as worst video ever made. But anyway,
I'm not fond of the song to begin with, let alone the video.
Turn around, Bright Eyes. The at the time of the recording of this podcast, which is in late March, right now, according to YouTube, the video has had 47,076,304 views.
Oh, there's another one.
Yeah, and we should also add that YouTube does not update these in real time.
Yeah.
That the numbers update to a schedule that makes sense to YouTube.
Basically in batches.
Yeah, so it could be that number is, of course, not entirely accurate, even as I'm saying this right now into the microphone. It of course will not be accurate by the time you hear this podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So 47 million views, that's a lot. I mean, that's incredible.
Yes.
And the song is actually on iTunes as well. You can purchase the song on iTunes, and a lot of people have done that. And you could argue that maybe it's in a sense of irony. They're ordering it because they think it's so bad, it's funny, and therefore they're going to get the song.
Mm-hmm.
Some people may legitimately like the song, although they may also say that it's a terrible song. Personally, like I said, I think the tune is kind of catchy. I think the lyrics, again, are so ridiculously plain. Like, it's just it's explaining such a mundane experience that, you know, you can't help but think, wow, this is really ridiculous.
Right. In a nutshell, it's Friday. And she's happy about that because
it means it's the weekend.
It's the weekend, and she can go partying.
I think it's when you hear that Sunday comes afterward. That was the point where I was like, really? I mean, just the going down and have to get a bowl, have to eat your cereal.
Yes.
That was a little rough, too. But here's where we're leading with this. This video has prompted a lot of people to leave extremely negative comments on the YouTube video. Now, I don't argue that leaving a negative comment for a bad video and saying, like, wow, this was a really dumb song or this was a really dumb video, that's one thing, right?
Yeah, I want to point out, it may sound, since we're both kind of negative on the song, I don't want to give anyone the wrong impression and think that we are anti-Rebecca Black or
exactly.
The songwriter or anyone involved with it. I mean, it's, you know, everyone involved is making an attempt to entertain people.
Right.
And, you know.
You could say that it was, you know, an unsuccessful attempt, or at least it wasn't successful in the way they had intended.
Right. Even star musicians can write bad
clunkers.
Songs.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not, and I'm certainly, you know, you have the old saying, well, let's see you try it. Well, you know, I haven't ever written a song, so I can't really talk.
And
now,
you know what?
I?
There's some bad songs out there that have become incredibly popular and became standards. Someone Left the Cake Out in the Rain. I'm just saying, if you look at the lyrics to MacArthur Park, it is the dumbest song. I mean, it's dumber than Friday, people. Seriously, read the lyrics.
So, we're not angry at anyone involved with the project.
Right. But the point being that there have been a lot of people who have left comments that were directed personally at Rebecca Black. So we're not talking about people who are criticizing the song or criticizing the video or saying that, you know, the subject matter is ridiculous. We're talking about people who are directing personal attacks at Rebecca Black.
Right.
To the point of saying, like, you are stupid or you are ugly. Or, things like that. Things that have nothing to do with the actual subject matter but are more of a personal nature. That, I think, constitutes cyberbullying. You know, it's harassing someone directly.
Mm-hmm. Well, as a matter of fact, she came out in an interview not terribly long ago and said, and I quote, "At times it feels like I'm being cyberbullied," end quote, which... I actually found that in an article in Time magazine online by Hans Villarica. And basically he was saying that this isn't helping her case because she's drawing attention to the fact that she's being attacked. And for some people that leads them to pile
them into,
on.
Yeah.
But in that article, Hans also mentioned that he had spoken with Karen Slovak, an Ohio University professor.
Mm-hmm.
And she basically said that cyberbullying it doesn't really fit this, what is going on with Rebecca Black necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Although she may change her mind now. This was done several days ago, probably about a week and a half ago by the time we're recording this. So, what she said was that cyberbullying is done over time. Like, it's consistently applied. It's not one personal attack. If somebody attacks you, that's not bullying, is what she's saying.
I see. So
bullying is something that, you know, the big kid comes up and asks you for your lunch money every day.
Yeah, got you. So it's repeated and it's over. Got you.
But at this point, you might argue that by now that it's been several weeks and it's still going on, that it has graduated to actual cyberbullying. But yeah, he spoke to several experts about it and said, it may not necessarily be cyberbullying, but it is definitely a personal attack, and it's painful to the person being attacked.
Yeah,
and she has said as much.
Chris and I have talked offline about how sometimes we get negative reviews, and that's legitimate. You know, if people don't like what we do, then I don't think there's any reason why they shouldn't say so. Or why they cannot offer criticisms or anything like that. But occasionally we get personal attack comments, things that are not criticisms or helpful in any way. They're just, you're stupid or something like that. And that hurts, even as a grown adult, there's an element, there's an emotional element there. And yeah, I don't even know this person. As far as I know, this person could be like the person who directs an attack toward me. Maybe someone who I would never care for or respect in person if I met them. Mm-hmm. But that's beside the point. It doesn't feel good to get that kind of stuff.
No.
And if you get enough of it, it can really affect your self-image. Now, fortunately, with the case of Rebecca Black, it appears that she's got a pretty level head on her, which that's amazing because she's 13. When I was 13, I did not have a level head.
No.
Technically, I don't. Right now, it's kind of rounded, but anyway,
it's when you're 13. Sorry, I'm interrupting.
No, please.
I was going to say that's a troublesome time. You're going through a lot of changes in your life.
Yeah.
Starting to come into your own as an adult.
And opinion of your peers is very important to you.
Yeah, and we have a lot of listeners who are in that age range.
Yeah.
12 to 16.
So imagine having literally thousands of people saying that you are not worth anything. I remember Rebecca Black did an interview with Good Morning America,
mm-hmm.
in which she said that there were people leaving comments saying things like, you should starve yourself, you're too fat, or you should cut yourself, or things like that. I mean, people saying that you should harm yourself, that's a threat, is really what that comes down to. It may not be a threat that anyone's going to act on, but you get enough of those, and that's really going to affect your self-worth if you aren't careful. And like I said, apparently Rebecca Black has a very good she's comfortable with herself enough where that's not affecting her And she says that she no longer is paying attention to the negative reviews, which is helping a lot.
Yeah.
And she's also taking steps. I mean, she's making some serious money off of this music video. And that's, of course, fueling more people to even up the ante and talking about how ridiculous it is and how terrible it is.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that at least on one analyst I saw said that they had projected she would make around $20,000 off iTunes and another $25,000 off YouTube. Or I might have those mixed up. And that was just one analyst. So it may be that that could be more than that. Rebecca Black, by the way, has also said that she's going to donate some of her proceeds to relief efforts for the victims of the Japan earthquake and tsunami, and that she's also donating some of the money to her own school. I think that's remarkable. You know,
yes.
That's an amazing thing. So considering the storm she weathered, I think that she's behaved admirably. Now, to get back to the people who are directing these attacks, the internet's a weird thing. We see there are cases of bandwagons that go for or against certain causes, and sometimes it doesn't make much sense. But you'll see that there'll be this sort of groundswelling of support for or against certain people, and sometimes it's a great thing. So, for example, in the case of Katie Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
Katie Goldman was the young girl who loved Star Wars, and but she was getting teased when she would go to school because she had a little Star Wars backpack and Star Wars lunchbox and things. And she was told by the boys that Star Wars is something that boys like, not what girls like.
Oh, sure.
And she felt a lot of pressure from her peers, and that she was doing something wrong. And she came to her mom and said that she wanted a pink lunchbox, something that didn't have Star Wars on it, because she didn't want to be teased anymore.
Right.
Well, there was this huge groundswelling of support amongst the internet because, first of all, a lot of us are geeks. I include myself. Mm-hmm. And we think there's nothing wrong with being a geek, and I agree. There's nothing wrong with that. And so a lot of people threw support at this young girl. She received tons of gifts from people. She received messages from folks who have been in Star Wars property projects.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she got a lot of support, and it was really heartwarming to see that. Like, this is a bunch of people saying, no, it's good. You should be who you are. That's okay. Don't let anyone tell you otherwise. Then you see this Rebecca Black video come out, and you see kind of the opposite. You see all these people piling on saying, you're terrible. Why are you doing this? Your music is horrible. You're not worth anything. And I can't help but suspect that there's at least some overlap.
Mm-hmm.
That some of the people who piled on Rebecca Black were the same ones who thought, you go, girl, for Katie Goldman.
Mm-hmm.
And the hypocrisy there is kind of amazing. Why should Katie Goldman be proud of who she is, but Rebecca Black be ashamed of who she is?
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's
yeah.
a mixed message. So that, again, is what spurred the whole cyberbullying story. Now, the actual stories about cyberbullying go well beyond Rebecca Black.
Oh, yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. We have had a lot of different stories come out in the news about, particularly about teenagers who have either committed suicide or attempted suicide, and at least part of the reason for that horrible decision stemmed from cyberbullying online. And that's just it's so unthinkably terrible to me that people online can feel the freedom to criticize or bully other folks. I think part of it is that when you're online, if you're the attacker, you kind of feel a sense of distance. Like, the words you're saying don't really impact anything because you're not really telling the person to their face. You're telling a website, or you're telling a screen these things, right?
Right. You well, a lot of people wouldn't have the courage to go up to that person.
Or they would
say those things.
Yeah, or even if it's not courage, I mean, yes, I think that's definitely a legitimate point. But there are some people who, if you were to present them with a computer screen or the actual person, and you know, whatever it was that triggered that comment, if the person were there, it wouldn't necessarily even be a matter of courage. It's that cultural pressure of saying, no, you don't say that to a person. That's just wrong.
Yeah.
You wouldn't come up to a person and say, you know, you're ugly or you're fat or whatever. I mean, some people would, but well, sure. Most people would not. But then you show them on a screen, you've got that level of distance there, and suddenly that some of those cultural barriers that would prevent you from doing such a thing in person are gone.
Yep.
And you don't feel restrained. So you start doing, but the problem is that those words still hurt when you read them,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah, I was just thinking, too, another thing that you have sort of spurring this along too is maybe you've decided somebody mentioned the video to you, you've gone to YouTube, and now all of a sudden you can read all the other people who are attacking her for mm-hmm. the quality of the song and of the video, and you go, you know what, this does stink, and I'm
gonna weigh in.
Yeah, exactly. It's a mob mentality.
Exactly.
Online,
and you get that thing, you know, you might think, oh, I've got this great snappy barb that I want to throw in there.
Yeah.
And you're doing it as part of a mass conversation, mm-hmm. right? You're not necessarily thinking I'm directing this at someone.
Right.
I got this funny thing that's really, really sharp and cruel and acidic, and it's going to be awesome and people are going to laugh. Not thinking, ultimately, the target of this is a 13-year-old girl.
Yeah, yeah.
So, there's a lot of those elements there. So, and this is kind of, again, like armchair psychology and armchair sociology.
Right, right.
But there have been several studies about cyberbullying. There's actually I found a document called Cyberbullying Research Summary, Cyberbullying and Suicide, which was very disturbing to me. And in the highlights from the research section, the report says that 20% they surveyed students who are young people who had been active online and tried to determine, you know, how many of them had admitted to either considering or even attempting suicide,
mm-hmm.
how many of them had been victims of bullying, how many of them had been victims of cyberbullying specifically.
Right.
Well, the highlights from the survey said that 20% of all the respondents reported seriously thinking about attempting suicide. Mm-hmm. So that was disturbing on its own. And then that all forms of bullying were significantly associated with increases in suicidal ideation. So in other words, the people who had seriously considered attempting suicide, more of them had been victims of bullying than otherwise, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that cyberbullying victims were almost twice as likely to have attempted suicide compared to youth who had not experienced cyberbullying. So the survey at least suggests that and this was around 2,000 randomly selected students,
mm-hmm.
from middle school age. So 2,000 people, that's a decent size, right? It's not a, you know, you couldn't call it definitive or anything, but mm-hmm. it's a good size for a study. That suggests that there is a definite link to cyberbullying and your sense of self-worth, as well as your likelihood to consider suicide. So those words really do count. I mean, we've all heard the little rhyme of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really true. Those words can be really, really impactful. And because of that, and because of the attention on recent cases of tragic suicides and cyberbullying in particular, there have been a lot of proposed legislation in both state and federal venues to ban cyberbullying or to punish cyberbullying.
Mm-hmm. Probably the most notable case of cyberbullying that has led to these efforts, these legislative efforts, was Megan Meyer.
Yes.
Very well known. Yeah, I believe we
talked about her in the troll episode, I believe.
I'm thinking so, too. And Jonathan wrote a post on it back on May 11th, 2009, called Internet Trolls Come Under Fire. And at that point, we were talking about legislation. But what had happened, Megan Meyer had a friend who lived just four houses away
mm-hmm.
from her. And the other girl's mother and she basically had decided that they were growing apart, apparently. The two girls were growing apart, and they were concerned that Megan might have been telling stories about her.
So they decided to get back at Megan.
Yeah, they were trying to apparently trying to figure out what was being said, seeing if there was a way to win her trust through another method to see if they could figure out what she was saying about the other girl and you know, possibly do a little punishment too. I think from what I've read, I think it sort of went awry because they had a family friend who has said that she was the one who came up with the idea to do this. They created a fake persona on MySpace.
Mm-hmm. And befriended Meghan Meyer.
Yeah, it was a boy.
Yes.
And
who was showing interest in Meghan Meyer. So you've already got that romantic, you know, and they picked a picture that was a very good looking young man.
Yeah.
So, you know, think about you are a teenager. You're, you know, you might have some insecurities. And then you have this good looking person suddenly showing an interest in you. I mean, mm-hmm. that makes you feel good.
Right.
And they did start up a virtual friendship with this fake persona mm-hmm. and this real girl.
And then they began using the persona to make personal attacks on Meghan.
Yeah, they first won her trust, and then they started to use it to criticize her, to insult her, and to belittle her.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so eventually she decided to hang herself.
Yes,
because she was very upset
suicide.
About some of the things that that were said. And the mother, Lori Drew, was charged on several counts. But the case really sort of came down to whether or not violating the terms of service of MySpace
constituted an illegal action.
Yeah, yeah. Because there at that point were no cyberbullying laws, I don't think, anywhere on the books.
Right.
And that was the thing, was they didn't really have anything to charge them with.
Yeah. There was, you know, what do you do? It's like it's
people wanted to punish them.
Right.
And there wasn't anything to punish them with.
Right. So that definitely gave rise to this this movement to try and find a way to deal with cyberbullying in a legal aspect, a mm-hmm. legal way. And there are a lot of states that have been trying it. Louisiana proposed a cyberbullying bill that would make harassment on text messages or through sites like Facebook illegal.
Mm-hmm.
Arkansas as well. There's a lot of states that have actually proposed legislation. And here's where we're going to transfer into a different kind of conversation. I'm personally a little nervous about cyberbullying legislation, and here's why. There's a very delicate line you need to walk in this, because on the one hand, yes, you want to make sure that there is some way to legally pursue punishment against people who are legitimately causing injury and harm to other people, whether it's through cyberbullying or other means,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, you don't have, you know, society breaks down if you don't have that kind of stuff. But on the flip side, you want to make sure that you do so in a way that does not infringe upon people's First Amendment rights.
Mm-hmm.
And so where is that line? Where does the line go from this is cyberbullying and on the other side, this is a criticism or this is a commentary that is legitimate in nature? And that's going to be a very difficult thing to do. It's kind of like saying what is art versus what is not art. It really becomes a subjective issue. And I think judges in the states where these proposed bills become actual legislation are going to have a really challenging time determining in individual cases which things are, you know, which things constitute actual cyberbullying versus expressing your opinion, you know, under the rights of free speech.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we must keep in mind, of course, free speech is not unfettered.
Right.
You know, it's not truly free in that there are limitations. It was Oliver Wendell Holmes who said the right to swing my fist ends at the other man's nose. That being said, you know, you cannot expect to have complete freedom of speech because there are certain things you cannot do. The famous example being don't yell fire in a crowded theater.
Mm-hmm.
The idea being that you create a panic and thus people can come to harm. So the argument is that those people's right to an expectation of safety overrides your right to yell something that's not true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yes. And Representative, I had her name right here. Linda T. Sanchez has tried a couple of times to introduce federal legislation in the House of Representatives. And in that particular piece of legislation, which is aimed to amend Title 18 of the United States Code, would define makes a definition of cyberbullying, and I'll quote, any communication with the intent to coerce, intimidate, harass, or cause substantial emotional distress to a person using electronic means to support severe, repeated, and hostile behavior, end quote. And in that case, it was introduced in the 110th Congress in the United States. On July 28th, 2008, it was referred to a House subcommittee and then referred to the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security, and it basically died.
It just languished there.
She tried again in the 111th Congress on April 2nd, 2009. It was referred to the House Committee on the Judiciary and again to the Subcommittee on Crime, Terrorism, and Homeland Security. And on September 30th, 2009, there were hearings held, but again, it is stalled, and there's nothing going on. Now, I've seen a lot too about bullying in general, not just cyberbullying, but
sure.
Bullying in general at schools, on TV. I know I've seen lots and lots of public service announcements.
There's the it gets better routine.
Yeah.
For people, young people who realize that that they're gay. Mm-hmm. And that they are receiving lots of bullying and pressure from other people because of their identity, or they feel like they can't be who they really are because there's this pressure around them, mm-hmm. and that as a result their sense of self-worth declines over time, and they begin to consider attempting suicide or having other really negative impacts on their lives. We've seen a lot of the PSAs that come out and say, look, you know, I know that this part of your life is terrible and that it feels like it's never going to end, but it does get better. So, yeah, I mean, there's been a lot of attention on a national and even global level to mm-hmm. this kind of thing.
Yep. And I know there have been principals, school principals, who've been pressured to do things. But part of the problem is that, you know, this is cyberbullying. A lot of it is not taking place in school.
Yeah.
And even though, for example, well, it's limited to two people, two mm-hmm. kids, the bullier and the bullied, if it's happening at 8 o'clock at night after school, there's really nothing the principal can do about it.
And because,
I mean, legally.
And because we're talking about
the
internet, it wouldn't even necessarily be two people in the same school.
Sure.
I mean,
it can be.
Yeah, it can be. But it could also be two people who know each other but mm-hmm. don't go to the same school. Well, then what do you do? Do you contact the other school and say your student is harassing a student of another school, so therefore it's your job to discipline him? I mean, it gets really muddy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's part of the reason why you have this legislation being proposed, because there a lot of prosecutors feel like there's not a whole lot of avenues to take in these sort of situations. I mean, there mm-hmm. are harassment laws that are out there, but some of them are difficult to apply if the harassment is taking place online. It's just it's hard because the laws were not formed with that in mind, and therefore there's a debate on whether or not the laws apply in those cases.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I did see one comment on a thread related to this that kind of made my eyes open a little bit, because I wasn't thinking of it in those terms, but it depends on what's said and how it's said.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, there are laws against libel and slander.
Yes.
And depending on what's said and how it's done, you know, there is that case.
Sure.
On which you could say, you know, there is a legal grounds under which someone can be punished for
right.
this.
With slander and libel, you've got that's again another restriction on mm-hmm. free speech. Your speech is not entirely free if what you are doing is spreading misinformation and lies about someone
deliberately.
Right. You knowingly are lying about someone's character or their behavior, and you're doing so as a means of hurting that person. That speech is not protected under the First Amendment.
Mm-hmm. Hate speech
as well. Yeah.
So
you might also hear about fighting words. It's true. You could be cited by the police for using fighting words.
Well, you know, a lot of people don't understand the difference between assault and battery, but assault is, you know, I'm going to kill you.
Right.
And that you could be charged with assault even though you never lay a finger on the other person because you were intending to do harm to that person.
Yeah,
you have to prove, I guess, that
the intent, which is really tricky, but like if you never swung a fist, then it's going to be hard for them to prove that you really did intend that and you weren't just quote unquote joking.
Yeah.
But
no, you say that to your friends. Well, yeah, you do, but
yeah.
You had a bat at the time.
Right. Yeah. You had your eyes were glowing red and there was really creepy music playing in the background. Yeah. And you know, I do have this concern about the legislation that's been proposed to prevent cyberbullying or to punish. It's not even to prevent cyberbullying, really. It's to punish acts of cyberbullying.
Right.
Right? So this is a reactionary thing, not a proactive thing.
It doesn't stop it from happening in the first place.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So the damage has already been done. It's just that you're punishing the people who have committed the act.
Mm-hmm.
Now, to me, I think that's important. I can't say that that's not important. But to me, what's more important is finding ways to educate children and even adults, really, because a lot of people fall into this kind of trap.
Sure.
But to educate people about respect and compassion and these concepts that, you know, you should extend these to other people because it's going to make everything better. People don't deserve to have this kind of stuff heaped on them for the smallest of what you think of as something like, you know, like Rebecca Black's video, something like that. She doesn't deserve getting hate mail and veiled threats or unveiled threats directed at her for that. Just say, you know, the song is goofy and leave it at that.
Yeah.
And I think that what's important is that we concentrate on that front end, that we do try and instill in people a sense that it's important to respect and show compassion toward others. And that if we follow those guidelines, the back end of punishment becomes less important. It still needs to be there because there's always going to be people mm-hmm. who will always fall to that side. But I think we need to really concentrate on ways to encourage that sort of sense of community and responsibility early on, and that's what where funding needs to go. Because mm-hmm. otherwise what you're talking about is, yeah, we've got all this punishment in place, but that's not going to stop the victims. Like, the victims are still going to be hurt. Mm-hmm. And I would rather see us work on ways to prevent victimization in the first place.
Right.
Because I'm crazy like that.
Well, you know, that's admirable. But at the same time, you know, I think that a lot of people are going to want to see something, you know, what happens when it happens anyway.
I agree. And I think that does need to be there.
As a deterrent.
Right.
I don't think it's
ever going to be a deterrent. I think it's only going to be a punishment, but I think it's still necessary.
Mm-hmm.
I just think that we cannot focus on that and then ignore the front end.
Right. Right?
If we just focus on the punishment, then you haven't solved the problem. You've just created a way of punishing the people who commit the problem.
Right.
And same way I think of pretty much the criminal system in general.
Right.
Is that if you don't address the underlying reason for why the crime is happening, you're just going to have a cycle of crime. And yeah, you have a way of punishing it, but you don't have a way of preventing it.
Right. And they'll also have to, if they ever want to get something like that passed on a national level, I think they'll probably need to be very careful how the bill is written.
Sure.
Because free speech advocates are going to say, sure, that's fine, but it's so broad now, you could punish all these other things.
Well, and what'll
which is a legitimate concern.
And what would happen with that is, even if the law were passed, you would essentially, it wouldn't take long before you saw a case come before the Supreme Court, and then the Supreme Court would have to rule on whether or not it was truly, you know, violating the First Amendment of the Constitution.
Yeah.
And you know, that's a very long and drawn out process. And in the meantime, you have a law that might be hurting people almost as much as the actual crime of cyberbullying is hurting people. It's a complicated issue.
It is complicated.
And
So offer constructive criticism.
Right.
Please.
Constructive criticism. Try to be a little compassionate about people. That doesn't mean that you can't say that something is poorly written or poorly done.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason for you to feel fettered that you cannot say that this is a bad work or anything like that. Just, you know, try to keep the personal attacks under control.
Right. I would like to have heard her without autotune. just to see what her voice is like.
Yeah, on Good Morning America, she sang a couple of bars of the Star Spangled Banner, and she had, you know, she could carry a tune. Like, I wouldn't say that she had, she herself said, I don't think I have the best voice, but I don't think I have the worst voice either. And I would agree with that. My voice is certainly much worse. Of course, I also, and there is a video of me on YouTube singing. So
now see, you shouldn't have said that.
Well, they already know about it because it's the Evil League of Evil thing.
Oh, right.
Part of the audition process was you had to sing. And I apologize to the, you know, two dozen of you or whoever, you know, went over and saw that video. I should have warned you beforehand. That was my fault.
Well, they're not around to complain now.
And I'm going
to
wrap this up. Well, I'm going to wrap this up by just stating one other thing that I find really infuriating about the American psyche. And I am also guilty of this. I include myself with this, which is that we have in America this the American myth or the American like the underlying foundation of what we think it is to be American is that if you work really hard or you really try to do something, then you should succeed. But then at the same time, we have this feeling that that people who succeed, we have this need to tear them down. So we've got folks who will succeed and at the first on one point, you've got the drive to succeed because culturally that's what it is to be American. You want to try and whatever your goal is, you want to make sure you get it because this is America and whatever you want is possible. But then you get there and then people start tearing you down. And that's also American. And that's just insane. It's not just America that does that either. I know that. But, you know, when you see that kind of that double-edged sword, like succeed, succeed, succeed. You succeeded? You're a jerk. That's just... Come on, people. Give me a break. I work hard. Don't tear me down for working hard.
Yeah. No, I know we're way over now, but my personal thing like that is your favorite restaurant on the corner.
Yeah.
And everybody loves them, and you're enjoying this because, hey, they're finally getting customers. Look at this.
There's, and then you everybody can't get a table?
Well, then you can't get a table, and then they open one across town. You're like, oh, that's cool. They're expanding, and then they get three, and then all of a sudden it's like they're on every corner. In every place in America, you're like, man, that big corporation.
Right.
Look at them.
Yes.
They stink.
Or
I want them to support little restaurants.
Or, as you know, bands.
Yes.
The band is cool when no one knows about it, and then when it becomes a success, they sold out.
That's what I think of as, for my age group, REM and U2 both got that criticism.
Well, to close out, I just got to say, Chris, I'm glad that it's Friday. I'm going to have fun. And if you guys want to have some fun, you can interact with us. We promise we will make it fun. You can let us know on Twitter or Facebook. Our handle there is TechStuffHSW, or you can shoot us an email. That address is TechStuff@HowStuffWorks.com. Chris and I will talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. To learn more about the podcast, click on the podcast icon in the upper right corner of our homepage. The HowStuffWorks iPhone app has arrived. Download it today on iTunes. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
It's brand new season 2. I'm Marissa Thalberg.
And I'm Stephen Wolf Bedatum. And we're excited to be back having bigger, bolder, and always real conversations.
Straight from the C-suite front lines of marketing, media, and more.
We have great friends joining from people you may know, like Vilmer Valderrama and Bobby Burke.
And people you'll want to know. So grab a coffee or, hey, even an Aperol Spritz and come join us on America's number one podcast network, iHeart.
Listen to brand new on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Something that makes me crazy is when people say, well, I had this career before, but it was a waste. And that's where the perspective shift comes, that it's not a waste, that everything you've done has built you to where you are now. This is She Pivots, the podcast where we explore the inspiring pivots women have made and dig deeper into the personal reasons behind them. Join me, Emily Tisch Sussman, every Wednesday on She Pivots. Listen to She Pivots on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.